Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Human Spirit Radio with Sarah McCroskey, heard here on the fourth Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific. Sarah is an expert in energy medicine and a leader in awakening human consciousness, down to earth, with a nearly 20 years of clinical experience co-creating profound healing results with clients. Sarah's vision of unlimited possibility emboldens clients and audiences alike to fearlessly embrace the arc of human evolution. Please welcome Sarah back to News for the Soul.
So welcome, everyone. Greetings from the San Francisco Bay Area. This is Sarah McCroskey, and this is Human Spirit Radio. Today, I am going to be talking about the myth of polarity and how it stems from judgments we hold, which make things oppositional, when in fact, they're really just aspects of a whole. And how our judgment and reactivity really creates our suffering. And then we tend to collude with one another and about what's wrong or what's right. And we generate through consensus reality. By our agreement, we create a consensus reality that really creates a lot of fixedness and entrenchment. And we get dug in rather than just allowing things to dance in the way that they naturally do. We get dug in through the interpretation we assign. So that's what we're going to be talking about and how it's kind of mythological. It doesn't have to be that way. So first, we're going to do a grounding, as we always do, just to kind of get us all present here and together and connected up so that we can really potentiate the space of this broadcast and communication and make it powerful for everyone here participating live and also connecting up with those who listen in the future. So if everyone who isn't driving a bicycle or an automobile would close your eyes, allow yourself to get present in your body, taking some nice deep breaths into your belly. Feeling your butt in the chair or on the bed or on the floor. Going into your body and with some deep breaths, we're just going to do, we're going to use the Jim Self Rose Grounding Tool, which is a simple way to clear your space. So with your eyes closed and continuing to breathe, if you could just imagine in front of you a big red rose. Imagine that about 10 or 12 inches in front of you. And just give that rose the command to go and collect your energies from anywhere you may have left them in the last few hours, in the last day, in the last week, places you may have left your energy, project and conversation. In an argument, traffic stop. And just ask that red rose to collect up your energies from wherever they may be, collecting them into the rose, and then bringing that rose again right back in front of you, and just bursting it into a zillion pieces, allowing that energy of yours to just return to you. Cleared and neutral. Right back into your heart. All your energy. Wonderful. And then create a new rose, whatever color you like, stand right out in front of you. And give this rose the command to take any energies out of your body, out of your space, out of your field, that don't belong to you. Somebody else's energy that may be in your space. Have that rose collect up that energy, just sucking it right out of your space into the rose. And then again, just have that rose burst into a million pieces, returning that energy to whomever it belongs to. Again, cleared, neutralized, back to whomever owns it, whoever it really belongs to, out of your space. Wonderful. And take a few deep breaths and feel what that feels like. In your own energetic field, your own sovereign. Energy field. Wonderful. And then just imagine dropping a cord of energy or a ribbon of energy down from the base of your spine, base of your torso, bottoms of your feet, down into the earth or down into the earth, sand through the rock, all the layers of the earth, all the way down into and connecting to the center of this beautiful planet. And with your awareness and your attention, just allow yourself to wrap your ribbon or your cord of energy a few times around that iron core crystal in the center of the earth. Give it a few tugs to make sure you got a good connection there to our mother source. Reality. Just allow your awareness and that energy to come up through the layers of the earth, bringing up that source earth energy, up through the layers of the earth, up through the bottoms of your feet, filling your body, legs and your belly and your chest, energy, whatever color that may be. And just let it fill your arms and your head. Then just imagine a line of energy going out through the top of your head. Or a fountain. And allow, through your awareness, allow yourself to go out into the sky, up through the atmosphere, and out into dark space. And allow yourself to find a source of light energy. Your awareness, connect into that source of light. Might be the sun. Could be your place of origin in the universe. Connect with that. How it recognizes you. And make a nice connection to that energy. Then allow yourself to draw that energy back down. Face. Down through the atmosphere, down through the sky, and gently into the top of your head. Breathing in that wonderful sky energy, that light source. Allowing it to fill your head and your shoulders, arms and your torso, entire body. And then just invite these two energies to to join and blend in your heart, throughout your body. Dance between the earth and the sky. Lives in you, how it can animate you, how it nourishes you. And then, with a nice breath, just allow your heart energy, that beautiful energy of yours, combined with these energies, to go out to everyone else who's in this group right now, anyone who's on this live call, anyone who chooses to participate at a future time, or anyone who would just like to receive this communication, this broadcast. They may not even know what's going on, but they'd like to receive the benefit by choice. Like to participate or will be participating. And let's just form this into a nice circle, connecting through our hearts. And let's just invite in our unseen friends of 100% light and love, our guides and allies, walk with us and support us and with us. A big group then. Taking another few deep breaths to open your eyes or get comfortable in whatever way you choose. Welcome, everybody. So I'm going to be talking today about polarity and duality. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is feel free to just try this all on. You know, just kind of allow yourself to just consider these things. You certainly don't need to believe anything. I'm not a guru or any of that business. So try it on. If it feels right, useful, true to you, then great. If not, drop it. Doesn't matter. So I'm going to be talking about polarity first. And what I want to say is polarity is really not a natural structure or a state. Polarity, by definition, implies extreme difference in qualities, ideas, principles, and it implies things being diametrically opposed, as if they're fixed. So kind of a fixed opposition is what polarity is about. And even in charged particles or the magnetic field of the Earth, you know, a term polarity is often used in those in that field of science when they're talking about charged particles and the magnetic field. And in polarity, when it's even about charged particles, the truth is, it's a dancing energy. They're energies that are constantly shifting. So charged particles are always shifting. The magnetic field is always, it's a breathing energy. So polarity as a fixed condition doesn't really exist, except when we humans get involved and start assigning judgments. Polarity is something that's created as a fixed state through our human judgment of saying something's good or bad, that it's right or wrong, that it should be or it shouldn't be. We actually create polarity by holding that oppositional view and then using language to kind of reify it, to kind of make it real. When we use the terms either or, and if you notice, just about all media is couched in terms of either or. A lot of times when, you know, when we're having discussions with people or when we're expressing our point of view, we're acting as if it's either or, like there are just two possibilities and that they're opposed. So either or, those, the words either or set that up. It's a way we language our belief in polarity. It's the way we language it into our reality and reinforce it. And so we generate that fixed polarity through our interpretation and the way we use language. And then we add mass to our positions by agreeing with each other about what's right, what's wrong, or fighting each other about what's right, what's wrong. And then the energies really get stuck. So it's a way that we humans kind of lay our judgment over top of what simply is. And in fact, it's something, things are always changing. They're always shifting position. They're even dancing in and out of existence, like waves and particles in physics. You know, they're an energetic state, and then they're a physicalized state. In and out of existence, changing position all the time. It's the way we hold it and the way we talk about it that creates them as being fixed and oppositional. So that's polarity, you know, in my view. That's what's going on with polarity. Now, duality, on the other hand, is a structure of third-dimensional reality. And it has to do with the nature of how things are created on this level of consciousness. Dimensions and a lot of times the term density, different dimensions or different densities, kind of interchangeable terms. They're not places or even structures. They're really states of consciousness. Dimensional realities are really different states of consciousness, and they have different principles that apply to them and different forces that operate and ways they function. But we surf in and out of dimensional realities through our consciousness. And we do it all the time. So in third dimensional reality, you know, which is the, you know, nuts and bolts of what we've grown up in, you know, it's shifting and we like I said, we go in and out of all these dimensions. But the one, the agreed upon reality, this third dimensional reality that a lot of us live in, the duality functions in third dimension as an expression of the way things are created. And when anything is created in third dimensional reality, it's created as sets of opposites. So when something's created, it comes up as two sides of one thing. It comes up as sets of opposites, like masculine and feminine energy, or light and dark, or birth and death, or in physics, wave and particle. As things are created, they show up as two opposites. But they aren't oppositional. Duality doesn't imply opposition. Duality just implies that there are two. And in the way they're meant to function, they're meant to function as, again, dancing, two dancing parts. You know, like the yin-yang symbol. it's a dynamic energy. It's a dynamic symbol. They're always trading places. That's what in the yin yang symbol, where it's got the white dot in the black part, and it's got the black dot in the white part. That's supposed to really help us to visualize that it's a dynamic energy. That they're always dancing. It's always spinning. It's only when we look at it as a two-dimensional object that we think of duality as being a static state thing. But duality isn't static state. It's two opposites that are always dancing, male-female energies, light and dark. They're always moving. It's dynamic. It's like the way the body, like the dynamic balance in the body. You know, homeostasis in the body and our health is maintained because things go slightly out of balance, and then there's a feedback mechanism, and then they come back in balance, and then they go slightly out of balance in the other direction. There's a feedback mechanism, then it comes back into balance. It's a spinning, lively, active energy. It's not a static state. So what happens is when we begin to vote on duality, in the third dimensional reality, when we begin to vote and judge it, we take these opposites that are meant to be fluid and changing, and we create them as being fixed. We make them fixed by judgment. So, let me just see where I am here. Okay. So, if we can just let things be as they are, the way nature handles. Nature lives in duality also. Duality is part of you know, the form that's here. The different dimensions, you know, form is not is not really an aspect of dimensionality. Form is dimensionality, like I said, is more about consciousness. Form itself is a different thing entirely. So you can have form in third dimension, you can have form in fourth dimension. You know, some dimensions are of the formless. And but nature has no opinion about the opposites that exist. Nature lets everything exist as it is. Nature isn't voting. Nature just lets things be the way they are and lets things flourish and dance the way they're meant to. So the cost of creating from polarity and judgment, well, it's a pretty big cost, because when we create from polarity in third dimensional reality, as soon as we create something, create its opposite also, because in third dimensional reality, everything that's created is created in pairs. So if we're creating in third dimensional reality through polarity, so if I'm saying this is the way it's got to be, and if it isn't this way, it, you know, like being really committed to an outcome and saying, you know, it's got to be that or I've failed. Well, as soon as I've got that polarity on that, just like anything else that's created in third dimensional reality, it comes up as a pair. So if I say it's got to be this, at the same moment I'm generating it can't be that. If I'm saying this is what's right. At the same moment I'm creating this is what's right, I'm creating it's wrong. As soon as I take, create from a place of judgment and reactivity, at the same moment, I'm creating my own opposition. Which generates all this evidence for why things are so hard to accomplish in third dimensional reality. Because if you're doing it as a pure creation, just throwing out what you'd like to have happen, and, you know, with intent that it occur, that's a very neutral thing. You have energy behind it. You have an intention. You want, you're looking for the fulfillment of whatever you're setting into motion. But it just kind of sails out there. And when you're in that place of neutrality and creating in that way, the truth is you're really not in third dimensional reality at that point. Because when you create from neutrality and you don't have a big opinion about it, you're just generating, you're actually in a place of non-duality. In the dimensions above third dimension, so third dimension creation, duality. Fourth and higher dimensional frequencies, the creation happens in those dimensions in the realm of non-duality. Non-duality is what operates above the third dimension. And in non-duality, a creation just is created, and what the operating principle is resonance. The operating principle, when you create from that place of neutrality, puts you already in the realm of non-duality and the higher dimensional realms. When you create from that place, the operating principle is resonance. So your creation simply draws like energy. It's not a simultaneous opposites thing. It simply draws energy to it that's of like frequency. That makes sense. Does anybody have any question about that? I know this is pretty dense stuff. Anybody have a question or anything they want to ask before I proceed? And again, let's listen for each other's greatness. Anybody who has anything to share, let's be listening from a place of listening for their greatness and the contribution.
Well, Sarah, this is Jai.
Yeah.
And I really, that comment that nature has no opinion really drove it through to me that, you know, when you're talking about the mind's tendency to fixate and to kind of fossilize through judgments or converting things into symbols, sort of imposing its own overlay on reality, the way it thinks things should be rather than the way they think things are. That one phrase, nature has no opinion, that could be like a mantra. There's so much wisdom in that. I just want to thank you for encapsulating it that way.
Ah. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, it really is what we add. So, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, as easy as it is to talk about conceptually that, oh yeah, of course, you know, we should drop our judgment and, you know, wouldn't that be good if we did that and all that? What you need to realize is that when you move into higher dimensional frequencies, And again, higher dimension, it's not good, better. It's simply a different frequency. It's a higher frequency, which just means things are moving differently. And again, different principles apply. So in the higher dimensional realities, where non-duality is the way things operate, it isn't duality where things are created in pairs of opposites. It's a place of non-duality. So that kind of oppositional or just two sides thing doesn't really exist. Now, the thing about it, though, is that in every dimensional reality, there are several laws that apply. One is that everything changes. But another one is, and always applies, which is what you put out is what you get back. That's basically the law of resonance. Pretty much the same as resonance. What you put out is what you get back. So if you're in third dimensional reality where you've got these opposites that, you know, kind of are living, then, you know, things can be kind of delayed. That sense of what you put out and how you get it back can seem like it's delayed. You can kind of miss the point that you're even getting back what you put out, because things ping pong around in these opposites. And especially, you know, then you get everybody's judgment involved, and then things can really get waylaid and fixed, and, you know, the energy becomes much denser and stickier. But in fourth dimensions and higher, what you put out and what you get back is almost immediate, because there's less friction. The law of resonance is what applies, not this set of opposites. So when you put something out, it's almost like instant karma. And the truth is, that's where we're going. We're going to third dimensional reality, and a lot of those operating principles are really kind of going away. But the thing about being in, you know, it seems like, oh yeah, I want to be in fourth dimensional reality or higher. Yes, that seems like a really good thing. Yes, I want to be in the place where I'm not creating my own hurdles because I'm so hell bent on my polar perspective or what I want so bad. You know, I want that. But you got to be ready for instant karma. And it causes us, and it's a beautiful thing, it causes us to have to be really, really, really awake and really conscious creators. Now, that's always a good idea anyway. But in third dimensional reality, you can think, you know, you can fall asleep and you can forget that what's coming at you is what you put out, because, you know, maybe you did it 2 years ago, or you just, you know, we're sleeping. But in the higher dimensional realities, it really is almost instantaneous. And so what you put out is what you get back very quickly. And what you put out as a vibration collects resonances from everyone else that's a like vibration, and you get that feedback very, very quickly. And in third dimensional reality, if you're noticing, yeah, you do too. You know, you have a horrible, you know, you're stressed out and you're pressured and you're hating everything, and you go to the copier machine at your work and it blows up and doesn't work. But you know, we don't connect the dots much. But in the higher dimensional frequencies, you know, that's really the opportunity, and it's the good news and the bad news. It's an opportunity to create without generating opposition. You know, it's smoother sailing, a lot less energy needed, and you know, you've got to create from an awake and very clean place if you want to have things go smoothly. So. So the irony, you know, and the place we wind up in a lot in third dimensional reality is, you know, when I say, you know, when I in my strident, you know, politics or whatever it is, and believe me, I've been all these places, you know, say, you know, this is right and that's wrong, I am instantly creating the opposite. In third dimensional reality, when anything's created, no matter what it's created from, it's created in pairs of opposites. So when I say that's wrong, I'm instantly fueling my opposition, which gives you a really, you know, it becomes very, very clear why people get so burnt out on politics and you know, trying to push something upstream from a place of, you know, I'm being opposed, I have enemies, thinking that somehow that opposition lives in the other guy, or that the strength of the opposition is being generated by someone else. But it isn't. It's being generated by the level of opinion and judgment and reaction we hold. And every time we get all roar about something, we're generating not only our polarity, but we're generating the opposite. So we're actually adding mass to the whole thing. And no wonder it's hard and tiring to try and create something cleanly that can just work out in third dimensional reality. Because not only is this thing working, but then there's, you know, it's compounded by decades and eons of people creating from polarity. So it's almost like the place is saturated with all this opinion and judgment, not to mention, you know, lineage and cultural battles and, you know, our karmic content and, you know, all the other stuff that's gone on. But it's very dense, hard to create. So, you know, the cost of creating from polarity is that it's really, really hard. And we get very stuck because we create opposition, dual opposition. Nothing moves forward very well. We've only got about a trillion examples of how that's going. So, you know, we just have to remember it's us humans that are adding the judgment. It's not just a natural state. And, you know, there's a price of admission to leaving that. And it, you know, it might seem simple, but we've gotten a lot of training to really hold on to these tendencies, these behaviors and practices that we've learned that keep us stuck in third dimensional reality and in this very exhausting realm. And so the price of admission for getting out of it is that basically we've got to give up being right. You know, and it seems like, oh, of course we do. You know, that's our ego, blah, blah, blah. But giving up being right, it's, you know, that takes some serious tracking of ourselves, observing ourselves, being compassionate with ourselves, and watching how we do it one more time. But basically, that's what we've got to give up in order to get out of here, and be in a place where our creations can really be operate much more. We've got to give up being right. We've got to give up being reactive and judging everything, as opposed to just being present to what is. You've got to stop taking sides. And we've got to stop using language that continually reinforces this idea that things are opposed to each other, as opposed to simply dual aspects of one whole. So whenever we use either or, we basically are saying, I believe things are oppositional. I believe these things I'm talking about are oppositional. And it can be pretty unconscious. But it is one of the ways that we kind of, you know, kind of, it's kind of a little clue we give to ourselves, like, oh, there's a flag. Every time you say either or, it can just be a flag to be aware and to shift the whole context to both and. Because that's the truth. Both and. Even in third dimensional reality where things exist as pairs of opposites, it's always both and. It's the two opposite pieces that are always implying and insinuating the wholeness of the thing. They're always pointing at the truth of non-duality, of unity, of wholeness, of how these things exist as two pieces of one whole. Both and, always. And you can just feel when you use the terms both and, you know, if you find yourself getting into, you know, a confrontation or some conversation, or you just find yourself, you know, couching something as either or, and you catch yourself, if in that moment you just shift it to both and, you just, you know, just correct yourself, you know, like, oh, either or, you know, both and. Feel the space open up of options, of other possibilities. It's not just this one thing against another. All of a sudden, there's just fluidity. All of a sudden, there's room. All of a sudden, there's creative space. All of a sudden, there are options and possibilities. So we've got to give up being right and our judgment and reactivity and the either-or thing. And, you know, it's not that hard. We just need to be – it's really a matter of being conscious. And it's the thing that's so beautiful is that it's exactly the consciousness practice that we need so that when we're operating in fourth and higher dimensional realities, we're creating consciously and getting forwarding what we truly in our hearts want to be creating and supporting. It's exactly the practice that allows us to be conscious creators in the zone of instant karma and like what we're creating. So it's perfect. It's just perfect. So how do we do it? You know, the first thing is just observing. Just observing as we judge and be righteous and use either or and be reactive. because we will and we do. And but when we do it from a place of observing it and being awake to it, that's always the first thing. But we're going to be doing it. The first place to stop the judgment is that we do it. You know, just allowing that, yep, here I am, I'm doing it. And now I'm becoming awake to it. And when you become awake to it, it becomes really kind of excruciating how often you do it. But that's good news. Because you're awake to it now rather than just plodding through, doing it, and wondering why you're suffering. So it's just like any other game. You know, it's all games. Every time you say one thing is more important than another thing, you're setting up a new game. So consider it a game. You know, notice how your life works. You know, notice how these things work in your life. Track them. Know the either ors, the reactivities, judgment, and the feedback you get. No, just track them and laugh at how constant the whole thing is. But in adding our awareness and witnessing it and bringing neutrality, like, whoop, there we are again, it actually starts to break up. And the second thing we can do is just notice when the language is used of either or. You know, when either you're saying it, either you're saying it, or someone else is saying it, or, you know, you hear it on the TV or all the other thousand places it plays out. And just consciously change it to both and. You know, it's kind of the same as we've all gotten pretty savvy about should. You know, when should comes up in our conversations, we kind of go, whoop, you know, that's not very life-giving. You know, it's really just bringing that same kind of awareness to either or and just shifting it to both and. You can feel how the energy shifts just in the words. So that's basically, you know, it's kind of like, you know, being in a harmonious state. And living in a state of harmony with things rather than opposing them. You know, Caroline Casey uses the wonderful term reciprocal blessing. Love that. Living in a state of reciprocal blessing. But it doesn't mean surrendering your values or your convictions. It doesn't mean being mamby-pamby and not caring about anything. Because the truth is, our values and our convictions really stand on their own. Our values and our convictions are a heart-based reality that we live from. You don't need to argue for them or against them. You stand for them. You just live them. And from a place of neutrality, when you live true to your heart, simply resonate at a higher frequency. And then you just attract like energies. And you create that way. And the truth is, you're in a higher dimensional reality at that point. Sailing is way smoother. But it truly requires being present now, 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 and practicing it. Because, you know, just like in Chutes and Ladders or one of those games, you know, as soon as you lose track and go back into the polarity thing, boop, you drop right out of that clear sailing space. You drop right back into that third dimensional reality where there's a lot of polarity because we've agreed on it. But you can just as simply get right back up into the clear sailing place by, again, just both and, inclusion, being with what is, neutrality, non-judgment, and not needing to be right. So that's basically the myth of polarity, in my little humble opinion. And I have an article that I wrote about it, which I'm going to put up on the Human Spirit Radio website. So, you know, if you want to look at that, it's got basically all of what I've just said, kind of hammered out in a more linear way. And anybody have anything they want to say, or any perspective or anything they want to share, any questions, any, I don't think that's true. Whatever you have. Anybody got anything?
Well, I do. This is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. You know, Sarah, it's everything I've been sitting back and watching over the last month. You've just, like, summed it up and explained it to me.
Interesting.
You know?
How has it been showing up?
Well, you know, big change is going on. My husband was laid off from his job, and he's looking for a new one. And actually, right now, he's in Australia interviewing for jobs. And, you know, we went to visit my in-laws right after he got laid off. And so he was talking to these people from Australia while we were in Michigan. And, wow, you know, the whole time I just kept stepping back and trying to stay in my own center, because everything is so different than how I would see it. Everything that's going on around me, you know, that everybody's experiencing all this drama and trauma. And it's been so interesting, you know, to watch and live through it with others and not have any judgment, and help and encourage my husband not to have any judgment about anything either, and just go through it, you know, and help him to let things flow. It's been really incredibly interesting. And, you know, I've known a lot of these things for a really long time, you know, I've learned them and been trying to practice them, but it doesn't, there was one part that was kind of missing, and that's exactly what you were talking about today. You know, I've learned this from, you know, Esther Hicks has talked about this for years, you know, through Abraham, and Jim Self has talked about this, and so many other people that I've studied with or under, you know, but there's just been a missing link, you know?
And what was the missing link for you, Joe?
The polarity, the idea of, you know, the idea of when I judge this, then I bring, you know, I bring in both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know, I've really been noticing that lately in my own language, you know, like, instead of saying that's great, I've been realizing I'd rather say I like that.
That's interesting, yeah.
You know, it's been really, you know, everything I said the last week with my family, I was really conscious of how I was saying it, because what I was saying, you know, when I say that's great, it implies that the other was horrible, you know, or was not great, you know? And it just, yeah, the whole thing. Thank you very much for this. It really has just pulled everything together for me. And, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great. I'm really glad. Yeah, I can just feel it in the way you're talking, Joe. How you're just being able to be have a clarity and be in your center while everybody spins around you. And it's such a gift into the space of a family or a relationship, because the other person can go through their spinning, but
yeah,
when you're not reacting, it doesn't just become this endless drama where everybody's feeding and wondering why it keeps going on. When you're in your clear center and not reacting and just watching, you know, with compassion and love and clarity.
Yeah.
You know, the thing can spin itself out. The person can just, you know, they reach their point of exhaustion, you know, like a little kid who just cries himself to sleep, you know. It's like you finally get to the place where it's like, okay, well, I tried that long enough, and okay, and, you know, they finally just reach a place where they can open to something new.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, I did receive an email, you know, like a quote of the day or something, I don't know, at just also perfect timing. And it was saying, it said, it was from Ram Dass, and it said, if you think you're enlightened, go visit your family for a week.
right.
Not that I thought I was enlightened, but, you know, I mean, it really helped, you know. You know, it was difficult at times, but wow, it really helped me sort my own crap out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and the truth is, it's ongoing. You know, it's just our funny conditioning that says, you know, we should reach some point of arrival, and then we're there.
Yeah,
and we just hover for the rest of existence in this nirvana state. You know, no, we always, you know, bump our head one more time. You know, wake right back up, go back to sleep, wake up, go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. And hopefully, you know, it's kind of in a spiral where we're getting more conscious all the time. But, you know, that's what we're shooting for.
Mm.
So thank you. Thank you for sharing, Joe. Lovely.
Oh, thank you.
And I appreciate everybody's contribution. Thank you for being here. Again, I'm going to be posting this article that basically outlines all the same stuff. I'll be posting it on the Human Spirit Radio webpage. And I'll probably put it on the blog page, so you can go to that page and download this article if you'd like to. So until next month, lift your frequency and change your world. That's basically what we've been talking about today. This is how we do it. And have a great weekend and a great month. Lots of love to everybody.
Thank you, Sarah. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.